So we're going to have our reading before we invite Chris back up to bring the word today. And the reading is from 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to read the whole of chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they've been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So before Chris comes, let's pray for him. Father, I thank you that you have been speaking to Chris over this past week, that your Holy Spirit has been nudging him and inspiring him and prompting him. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your work in his life. And we pray for him now, Lord, that you would anoint him as he comes up here to bring that which you've placed in his heart. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to hear you and to just get fresh revelation from you, Lord, and fresh teaching. Whatever it is that we need today, Lord, we pray that we would have hands to receive it, hearts to receive it. Amen.
Just as I begin this morning, it's probably helpful to say that I wrote most of this before I went on holiday a couple of weeks ago. You know, when you go on holiday, you don't have a lot of time when you get back to prepare. So if you think that this is addressing some specific incident that's happened in the last week, that's not it, because it was prepared long in advance of that. So that having been said, we believe that we have a zapper somewhere. Thank you. We believe God has called us to build a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship here in Burwell. If that doesn't seem slightly familiar to you, then you've not been paying a lot of attention as to what our church vision is. So that's sort of the big picture of what we think God's calling us to do and be as a church. But each year we try to listen to God and hear by his Spirit what specifically does God want us to focus on in this coming year. And we sum that up in a year text. Last year, year text was, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." It's been another really challenging year, hasn't it? We've lost loved ones from our families and from our church family, including Ruby, Jenny, Helen, and Joan. Other older members have come to a point where they're no longer able to regularly meet with us. We feel that loss, don't we? Our hearts break and we sorrow over those that are missing from amongst us. Most of us, I think, have grown weary and frustrated with the relentless waves of COVID and the restrictions that accompany it. Patience has worn thin. Relationships have been put under strain. With continued uncertainty comes anxiety. There are times when we felt powerless. Yet this verse continually reminded us that it's the Spirit of God who's at work amongst us, and it's his power that we rely on, not ours. And he is the one that has promised that he will build his church. God's word has gone out week by week, month by month, in person, online, and on CD, and on paper. The Spirit has been at work. The kingdom of God is like a seed buried in the ground, said Jesus. And that's what this year has felt like to me, that the seed has been buried by the Spirit, perhaps quite deeply at times in our hurt, in our brokenness. Right at the end of the year in our Advent series, we were reminded that the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. That really resonated strongly for me with our year text, you know, that it's about his power to do it and not ours. So the emphasis was on God's ability to build amid the difficulties we faced. I wanted to thank the leadership team because it is really difficult making decisions when you don't have all the information, and sometimes impossible decisions to make. So I wanted to thank them and to thank those of you that have borne with us when we're making decisions that even we aren't sure if they're right entirely, but you don't necessarily know all the thinking that's gone into them. So thank you for bearing with us. And I would continue to urge you to be gentle with one another. This process of coming out of restrictions is almost as trying as knowing exactly what we should have been doing. Yes, I won't say more on that. In the midst of that, I think we need to recognise that anxiety and frustration can lead to a lack of tact and increased sensitivity to hurt. I'm not immune to that any more than the rest of you are. So I wanted to apologise for the hurts that I've caused in this year, knowing that there will surely be some, but also I choose to forgive those that have hurt me. And I don't say that to make myself look good, but just to say it publicly, that I choose to forgive, and I hope that you will choose to forgive too. So we look forward into 2022 with hope. A hope not based on our strength or abilities, but on the Lord's promise that he is faithful and he will do it. The leaders gave up two of their precious Saturday afternoons to join together as we reflected on the church and where we believe God is calling us in the future. And that helped to shape our thinking as elders as we thought about our year text and the vision for this year. We got a few suggestions for your text and we prayed about them, weighed them, and agreed unanimously on this verse, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, which you may already have noticed the banner for, the observant amongst you anyway. Thank you, Kath. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. I asked for Susan to read the whole of chapter 3 because I think John, far better than I could, preaches a wonderful sermon about the interconnection between God, love, loving God, obeying his commands, and loving one another. It's so interconnected and it all focuses into this one verse. It sums up what he's saying in this passage. So I have written that I believe that our year text is perhaps one of the most challenging verses in the New Testament. So I warn you about that for this coming year. If you wonder why I say it's so challenging, then you need to remember how John defines love and the extent to which he expects us to respond with practical action where we're able. Verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Very powerful, very strong, stronger than any minister would be brave enough to say. But John, the disciple who has probably late on in his life by now, speaks to those that are beloved by him and lays it on the line. It really matters. I wanted to say as we think about love, because the world has all kinds of distorted ideas around love, that love is not about giving in to people's manipulative behaviours, just giving them whatever they want all the time. It's not always agreeing with them or pretending that they are without faults or making ourselves poor in order to make others rich. It is about consistently seeking the best for others, And when we see a need that we can meet, doing so. It's about having compassion on people. We cannot demand love. We cannot demand love from others. The love that John speaks of is agape love. It is given freely to those who do not deserve it. So do you see how ridiculous it would be to say, you're not loving me the way you should? That's the point of agape love. It is given to those who do not deserve it. Equally, we cannot look at somebody and say, I will love these people, but not that person, because they don't deserve it. That is the point of agape love, that Jesus Christ calls us to love as he has loved us. Love is the hallmark of the true believer and the command of Jesus. Love is always central to the Christian life, and it's first in our mission statement. We say that we believe that God has called us to build a loving fellowship. And actually, the rest of it just unpacks that. Because to be a loving fellowship, we must also be a worshipping, learning, evangelistic, and spirit-filled fellowship. If we love God, then we will want to worship him. And we'll want to know what his word teaches. And if we love the lost, then we'll want to share the good news with them. Because the best thing that we can do for those that don't know the Lord is to introduce them to the one who loves them. We'll want to share the good news in word and deed. Last week, Roger spoke powerfully about the need to be workers in the harvest field and to pray that the Lord would send out more workers to work alongside us. So as soon as we try to worship God, to begin to learn and evangelize, we discover the need for the infilling of the Holy Spirit to enable us to love as Jesus loved us. Because we don't have that capacity in ourselves. We need God's Spirit to enable us to do that. To put it another way, in order to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we need the gifts of the Spirit. It is the giving of those gifts that enable us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So in the coming weeks, we're going to unpack what we might do to respond to this verse. But this morning I just wanted to think about its context, and we've heard that chapter read, and the vision for this coming year. So this letter was written by John, the apostle and author of John's Gospel. He was a first cousin to Jesus. The letter was written to believers, but not to anyone specifically. He writes to address certain errors that are beginning to creep into the early church. Some were claiming that they didn't sin. They had moved beyond sinning and that they didn't sin anymore. Or that they could deliberately keep on sinning because it didn't really matter because they loved God. Some claimed that they loved God, but they didn't demonstrate any love for each other. They didn't see any connection between those things. Some claimed that Jesus couldn't have been fully human because they saw all physical things as being evil. And because everything physical was evil, they thought that what they did in their physical body didn't have any relevance to their spiritual life. There was a disconnect between what they did and what they believed. The letter was written nearly 2,000 years ago, but many of its themes, I think, are still relevant today. There are still people that think and behave like that. And these ways of thinking can creep into our own belief systems. John was deeply concerned that the life of the believer reflects what they claim to believe about God. there needs to be a coherence, a connection between what we sing on Sunday and what we do the rest of the week. We address that from one direction with our frontline Sundays, thinking about that life on the front line where we are amongst people who don't yet know Jesus. And I think John's message, important though it was at the time, is perhaps even more relevant to us today when we spend much of the week apart. They probably bumped into each other a lot during the week living in small communities, but we're quite often separated from each other and we might not even join together in the building because you may be joining us online. It's so easy then to live in a sort of fantasy world where you love God and everything's rosy between you and God, but people you don't like very much and you just keep away from them, and particularly the church, keep off them. All too easy for us to make a disconnect between our spiritual life and the outworking of our faith. Too easy for worship to become a lovely escape from real life. A blessed hour where we just focus on God and forget everything else. And then go back to behaving exactly as we did before we arrived. That is to deceive ourselves that we love God when our daily lives deny it. So it's not that John expects us to be perfect, but he wants us to be honest that we are far from perfect. And that matters. Not simply that we say, well, we're all human, we all fail, we won't bother about that, we'll just carry on being rotters. No, that matters, and that we need God to be transforming us and forgiving us. We need forgiveness for the past and the transformation of the Spirit for the future. So our year text is one that calls for lives of integrity. I don't know if there's been anything in the news this week that's made you reflect on the importance of integrity in the way you behave and the impact that it has on what you say that people should do. We're called to live out our faith in action. To love not only in theory, which I guess we'd all agree on, but in practice. So how might we go about that in this coming year? Prayer. These headings come out of the priorities that the leaders identified as we reflected together on the church's strategy. And prayer was top of the list. You know, love motivates us to pray because we recognize we can't meet the needs. We individually can't meet the needs of all those that we love around us. We can't fix things for them. But we do have an all-powerful and all-loving God who asks us to pray, to seek him and to ask anything in Jesus' name. The Monday evening prayer meeting has always been a great encouragement to me because for a little church, it's quite a big meeting and it carries on being quite well attended most weeks. I really appreciate that as a minister in the church, and I hope we see as a body of Christ that meeting, I know not everybody can get there, but just to recognise that is the little fire at the heart of the steam engine creating the power for us to work as a church. Prayer really matters. So even if you can't join us on a Monday evening, perhaps use the notice sheet or just remind yourself what's happening in the week and pray along with us. We meet together in person, of course, but we also during the week use social media so that if somebody asks for prayer, we let those know in the group and say, would you pray along with us? So if you need prayer, do let me know and we share that to the extent that you want us to share it. We can keep it minimal if you want. So see prayer as central. We've begun offering prayer at the end of services. And over the last few months, we've been trying to encourage you to give space for that to happen. And people have been prayed for, and we've seen God working. So we really praise God for what he's doing in those times of prayer ministry. We've been doing some prayer ministry training, and we're doing that again this evening. So that isn't just for the prayer ministry team. Anyone is welcome to come along to that. It's always been something that's been on my heart right from the beginning of my ministry, is to see God working powerfully through his Spirit to bring healing, release, forgiveness, encouragement through praying for one another. And it's great to see the church beginning to respond to that. But it really has to be the Lord that puts a hunger in our hearts, a desire, a belief that only he can meet our needs, and that through our brothers and sisters in Christ, we might be enabled to move forwards in that. We need that hunger not just for his healing touch, and not just for physical healing, and not just as a last resort, but as a normal part of our Christian journey to be praying for one another regularly. We say we believe in the power of prayer. We need to make ourselves vulnerable and ask people to pray with us. Children. We really want to see more children and young people in our services. But we have to rely on God to give that growth. All we can do is create the environment for that growth to happen, to carry on offering those things that will be a receptacle for children and young people until they're willing to come. We continue to offer groups on Sunday mornings and Good News Club on Mondays. And we've agreed to spend some of our reserves on a children's worker to help set up and run that group for the 11 to 13-year-olds to follow on from the good work of Good News Club. The money's there. The job advert's gone out. We haven't had the right applicant yet. So would you join me in praying that God would bring the right person along, make them aware of that opportunity, and give them a heart to help us? Or may God speak to us and direct us in a different direction if that's not how he wants us to move forwards. Once we appoint somebody, that isn't going to be the end of the involvement of the church. You know, they won't be able to run that group on their own. They will need others to be with them and to help them in that task. So would you pray for that too? And pray for those children and young people that are having to bear with us right now, because they're on here on their own, or they're here with few their own age. You know, we know that that's not easy. And we appreciate those that keep coming when it's not always what they would want to do, but they're here to support us. And, you know, that means that when another child comes of a similar age, or another teenager comes of a similar age, at least there's one other person like them. So those that continue to do that faithfully, thank you. And please bear with us. We really do want to see more children and young people here. Next, cooking together at home. So I wanted to be really clear at the start of this. I'm not claiming any credit for this initiative at all. This grew out of the Family Witness Group, and it was the Spirit who's given the vision to those in the church to lead it and given us favour with those outside the church who supported it. We've seen the number of families supported grow, and those that are in need, their needs being met. And increasingly, families are more willing to respond to events through invitations from that. I think this is a great example of love in action and not just words. This was somebody who had compassion on people and responded by setting up a group to gather the food, write recipes, give spiritual input as well, and then distribute that to families and encourage and strengthen them when they've come here. Real practical action going along with those feelings of compassion. You can get involved in that by donating food items, and it specifies what sort of things would be helpful in your notice sheet. There is a box in the schoolroom if you'd like to put food in there. Do pay attention to what sort of things are appropriate. We don't want stuff going off in there, or live animals or anything like that. Also, just giving a small gift towards it in terms of money or time, you know, helping to be part of distributing that, or packing up the food beforehand, or maybe shopping and bringing the stuff in that needs bringing in. God has done amazing things through that, and that gives us encouragement to think, what else might God be calling us to do? How else might he be calling us out into the community? You know, there's the opportunity each month at the farmers market to serve refreshments there. There's opportunities to be out in the community in other ways, at the carnival, at family days. This year is Burwell at Large. There'll be opportunity to be there, letting the village know that what we do. There are those opportunities. Let's see them and respond to them. Worship. I think this was one of the things that we talked about in our strategic meeting, because it's really important to us as a church. We love to worship together, and we love to sing particularly, and that's why it's been so hard for 2 years, either not being allowed to sing at all or having to sing through a great big mask on your face. We really appreciate those who lead us in worship week by week, and we're not saying we weren't highlighting it as an issue that needed remedy, but just giving thanks for what God's been doing in it. And whilst it's been great to be back in the building, we wanted to give thanks for Andy and Mike and Mark, who have made it possible to live stream the services and record it onto CDs for those that aren't able to be here. You know, some of those that receive CDs, and it is the way that they've kept in contact with the church. Some of those that have been known to us for many years and have inputted so much into the life of the church, they know that they're loved. We hope you know that you're loved, because you receive these CDs and they just let you know what's happening in the building still. And you're able to continue to pray for us. So we give thanks for those that are able to make that possible. Thanks for those that make it practically possible, like Kath organising the putting the CDs in the envelopes and sending them off and writing to people each week. These things matter because they're expressions of love. Our worship here is an expression of love for God, but it also needs to be an expression of our love for each other, doesn't it? I think we also need to express our love, or demonstrate our love for each other, in bearing with each other. I think we're pretty good at that most of the time. Not every service is going to be to our personal preference. But don't make the mistake of thinking that if you're, in inverted commas, not getting anything out of it, that no one else is either. Quite often, the very thing that you're not getting anything out of, somebody else will say, I found that really helpful. We are different. That might come as a shock. But not everybody is the same, and we have different preferences. We're blessed with a variety of worship leaders and musicians. We thank God for all of them. We thank God for his spirit that makes it possible for us to receive blessing in many different ways. So you can get involved by praying for the service before you come, and praying during the service for God to continue to move by his spirit. We just restarted the pre-service prayer meeting. So at 9:45, we're gathering in the schoolroom, in the lounge. And that's an opportunity for just have a little longer to prepare in prayer for the service. And anyone is welcome to attend that. It's not just for leaders. I think it's God's desire for us to bring something to worship. You know, you could probably all choose to go to a big church with flashy lights and a band and all of that stuff, and they would do worship for you, and you could look on and applaud that wonderful worship that you've seen. But I think it's God's desire that we each bring something to worship. A psalm, a hymn, a song, a prayer, a word, whatever it is that God has put in our hearts, that God has called you to bring. So let's do that in this year. Let's be bringing things to worship and looking for opportunity to share what God has put into our hearts. It may be during the service. It may be over coffee afterwards. It may be a word of encouragement to somebody. Whatever it might be, let's do what God has given us. I think you can also show love by encouraging those who lead worship, from time to time, giving them a specific word of encouragement. For example, what will you do differently this week because of your time in worship today? I'm not asking you to encourage me, although that's always lovely, but just, you know, week by week, to be thinking about the person that's led the worship and how you can encourage them. Earlier this year, a handful of people ventured outside the building to explore new ways of worshipping and reaching out. These new ways included prophetic painting and using all-age activities outside. We paused that over the winter for perhaps obvious reasons, but we're going to continue to reflect on how we should respond to God's call to go out into the community, to think about how we might offer a way for people to connect with the body of Christ without having to come in through those doors, which can be quite a barrier to some folk. Life group. We've continued to offer Zoom life group, and many weeks there are more people on Zoom than there are in person. I think there were like 7 or 8 people on Zoom this week and about 6 in person this week. So, offering both opportunities, those in the building and those that can gather online, does give opportunity for people to come that wouldn't otherwise be able to come. For those of you who don't know, what we do is we take a Bible passage and we reflect on that together, particularly to get down to how might we respond and do something in the light of God's word. What might we do? And then we hold each other accountable. So the next week we ask, how did you get on with doing that last week? And we don't always achieve it. We seldom achieve it. But the fact that we hold that challenge before us, I think, is important, that we're seeking to do God's word and not just hear it. You're welcome to join us in that. You don't need any qualifications, whether it's in person or online. And if you can't make a Thursday night, then believe me, we'll make it possible another day during the week. We will find a time if you're keen to do that. I don't believe that we're a church that exists to raise money to keep the building open or who gathers to go through a ritual each week. We have been, and I pray that we continue to be, a church which seeks to study God's word and put it into action. I still believe that God has called us to build a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship here in Burwell. I still believe that God has promised that it will bless us and make us fruitful and increase our numbers until we become a community of peoples. My question is, will you join us in that task this year? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. The challenge of it is very apparent. And whilst we see that we are going to fall far short in our own human strength, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might learn how to love in action and truth, and not just in words and speech. We pray, Lord, that you keep us from a judgmental spirit that judges the quality of other people's love, but rather inspire us to love and good works. We ask it for your glory and for the building up of your church. Amen.